You're listening to Lower Road Radio, voted by Podcast Monthly as one of the top 50 sports radio podcasts to premiere in January of 2016. So sit back, relax, and enjoy what sportspodcast.biz.gov calls subpar at best.
At Tanagra, when the walls fell, this is Dan Owings coming at you another time for Lower Road Radio with my co-host, Jason. As always, Jason, how are you doing today?
We live in a new America.
That's true, we do.
We live in the new America. We're going to make America great again.
Oh boy, we're getting political already.
Well, right off the bat, I picked Hillary Clinton to win on the streak for cash.
You did?
Yes. Well, what happened was I had a five-game lead. Mm-hmm. I had five wins in a row.
And we should say, you just moved to Ohio. So in the process of moving, there was like a three or four...
So you're going to throw me under the bus on this.
No. There was like a 3 or 4 day window that you just missed to be able to vote. Because you just moved at the wrong time.
Yeah, well,
you
know? I moved. I got here at the beginning of October. Mm-hmm. And like the registration line, it's like 30 days before the election. Right. And like that's exactly when we moved here.
Mm-hmm.
So like...
Completely understandable. I think anybody could make the same mistake.
So I could have done some type of absentee, ballot, provisional vote, something or other. Right. But... I don't know.
So you didn't get a sticker yesterday.
I did not vote yesterday.
But
in the responsible American that I am,
yeah, but
I did not vote.
But you did vote in ESPN.
Streak for cash, of course.
Come on, where are your priorities?
Well, I got to get 30 in a row.
We should say that Lower Radio Studios is currently under construction.
Yes.
So we have moved to our backup facility,
our underground bunker,
and it's not a big room, but. It probably sounds to the listener like we're in a
cathedral,
an airplane hangar. Because for some reason, the dynamics of this room feel very echoey.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Which is something I think about a lot. You know, the sound of the show. We want it to sound as good as possible. Now, we're not Mike and Mike. We don't have producers and, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars to spend on, you know, the right equipment and everything. We have what we have. But we want it to sound as good as it can, considering. And so this week, it doesn't, I don't think, sound as good as it could.
Or maybe better. Who knows?
Maybe. You know, maybe it is better.
It's a little reverb.
I will say,
we feel maybe more official.
Maybe people like that. You know, it's a podcast. So, like, one of the podcasts that I've mentioned to you a lot is the Pozcast, which is Joe Poznanski and Michael Schur. And I listen to that. And every week, Michael Schur is on a phone line, which doesn't sound great. And this week, there was like the entire episode, there's like weird scratching, you know? And they are sponsored by like Dollar Shave Club and like Miller Lite, you know what I mean? They have like big sponsors.
Yeah.
And I feel very confidently that the sound... Now, you know, their credentials are much better than ours. Joe Poznanski was a writer for Sports Illustrated, now for NBC Sports. Michael Schur is the executive producer of Parks and Rec and Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
You and I have been watching sports our whole life.
Since I probably have been paying attention, like actively watching sports since I was, I would say, 4.
Yeah, so combined, we're pushing like 70 years mm-hmm. of sports between the two of us.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
If you look at it that way.
Right.
That's pretty good. Okay. 70 years.
So the point is...
We should add a third member to the crew. We'd be over 100.
That's true. We have some people that I think would be happy to do it. I mean...
I think it's... Honestly, I think now we're at a point where we could start having guests.
John Meadows, a friend of the show, sent a message, I think, to the show somehow. And I don't know if he texted or... Anyway, he wanted to... weigh in on our suggestions, you know, what would he like them?
Yeah.
He first of all, he said he thinks he might like the evening shows better. But he, you know. But he also said, if you're still open to suggestions, how committed are you to keeping Jason?
He's going to replace me.
I think that's the idea.
Or he just wants to replace me with anybody else. He wants to be the guy to replace me.
I think he might want to be the guy, but I think either would be fine.
I meant to tell you this the other day. So, Saturday night, you brought your family over.
Yes.
My sister brought their family over.
Mm-hmm.
So, between all three of us, There's like, you know, 20 kids.
And we brought a friend.
And you guys brought a friend. You didn't even tell us that.
Yeah.
We just like your up. Kids brought a friend with them.
Uh-huh.
And we didn't know that.
Well, you have 17 kids, so I thought if I threw one more into my mix.
Yeah. So basically, and my daughter had a friend over too. So, I mean, there's just so many kids in our house Saturday night. Mm-hmm. And we had planned on ordering pizza. So we had a couple Papa John's gift cards that we were going to use. I called up the place. And I'm doing the math in my head. I tried to do a couple different specials. I basically ended up ordering 8 large pizzas.
There's a lot of pizza there.
It was almost gone.
Yeah?
I mean, there was like 2 pieces, like 2 half pizzas left over.
Really?
Yes.
That's impressive. Your boys.
My boys can eat.
They can pack it away.
So the point is this, though. I mean, it was $100 bill, whatever. But, so when I call up Papa John's, actually, you know what? I did it on my phone.
Yeah.
The app. There's an app on it. So I log into the app. I click delivery. I order all 8 pizzas, you know, and I pay for it on the phone with my credit card and the gift cards. Mm-hmm. Done and paid for. I even did like a $5 or $10 tip or something like that because they're going to deliver it. 3 minutes after I hit send and I get the confirmation back, I get a call. I'm like, hello?
Mm-hmm.
This is Papa John's. I'm like, yeah. Like, expecting them to say, you know, there's a problem with the order, whatever.
Sure, yeah.
He goes, do you want us to make these pizzas? I'm like, yeah. And he goes, well, I didn't know. I'm like, yeah. I mean, I'm just like, yeah, what are you saying?
Yeah.
He's like, well, sometimes we just make pizzas and, like, you know, we don't even know if it's a real order or not.
I'm like, you like put in your credit card.
I pay for it. Who cares?
Yeah, right. Like, Papa John's is going to get their money.
They're going to get their money anyways. Yeah, Make the pizzas. Deliver it. If they say, no, this is a scam, then you've got free pizzas. You can eat yourself.
That guy definitely didn't vote.
No. Well, I hope not. Some people don't deserve to vote, and that's just the truth.
Mm-hmm.
They don't. Like, you ever seen, the man on the street or the interview mm-hmm. stuff, you know?
Yeah.
They hold pictures up of, like, picture of Ronald Reagan.
Right.
Like a guy that people should know. They should recognize.
Yeah.
And these people have no idea who
like,
that is.
Like, who is the current vice president? Even questions like
that. Oh, they have no idea. And he's been, Joe Biden's been the vice president for 8 years.
Yeah.
And people could not name him.
In their defense, I don't know if Joe Biden knows he's vice president.
I agree. But it's sad. So there's a lot of stupid people out there. So that Papa John's thing, it just kills me. I'm like,
you want us to make these?
I'm like, yeah. And here's the thing. I was trying to explain to my daughter because she was sitting right there with us.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted to give this guy a hard time saying, like, you know, well, who the flip cares if you pay for it, you know, but I don't want the guy to spit in my pizza.
That's the last thing you want.
No.
You got to be nice to the people making your food.
Yes.
It reminds me of... this Sunday, went out to lunch with John Meadows and his wife, and we were eating at the Jolly Mushroom here in town.
Yes.
And Jolly Mushroom's like a Chipotle for pizza, basically.
Okay, I've never been there.
Okay, so, you know, they make your pizza, and then you tell them, you say, oh yeah, I want that, and then they slide it in, and, you know. And John is pointing at this shaker of seasoning, and it's right beside a shaker of Parmesan, and he's like, what's in that? And the guy's like, Parmesan. He's like, yeah, now I see that one. What's the one closer to me? He's like, it's Parmesan. And he's like, no, I don't think it's the other shaker, you know?
Yeah.
And this was like, I'm not kidding. I think this was a 3-minute conversation. And John's being very gracious. He's being very nice to this guy. But this guy can't get it out of his brain. It was, oh my gosh. And we were talking, I was crying laughing about it. It was so funny. And the guy's like... John almost reaches over the glass and grabs it. I see that one. Okay, I see that. And it's just like, okay, let's take the Parmesan. Can you pick up the Parmesan? Okay, see, now let's put this over there. Okay, let's just get this out of the way. See, there's still another thing there. There's still another thing. It was really funny.
Through that whole process, I'm trying to explain to my daughter and my oldest son, this is why you need to pay attention in school.
Right.
So that you don't have to work at, you know, fast mm-hmm. food the rest of your life.
Not that there's, you know, if that's no, the career not that path.
And that's what I told him, too. I'm like, you know what? Maybe you could rise up, own your own franchise.
Sure.
You know, any of that stuff.
That's what Dave Thomas, founder of Wendy's, he started off by working at KFC, bought a KFC, turned that KFC into like 7 other KFCs.
Yeah.
Sold them all back to the Colonel in order to start his first Wendy's
wow.
in Columbus.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
You've heard the Colonel Sanders story.
It's a similar thing, right?
Well, he was, like, he is retired.
Yeah.
And he worked like a normal, like, factory job or something his whole life. And he's like, you know, 65 years old and like he needs money. He's bored. He's in retirement, whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, so he has a, like a family recipe. He fries up some chicken and sells it to like his neighbors.
Yeah.
And they loved it.
Yeah.
And they wanted more. And so he made more and he sold it to more neighbors.
Let me just ask you.
It grew to the point where like he became.
If your neighbor showed up with a basket of chicken and asked you if you wanted to buy it, like what would you respond?
Well, I wonder if that, I don't think my neighbors I want to eat it. I mean, it depends what neighborhood you
live
in.
It's a different time. You know, it was probably like a farmer's market kind of a situation, yeah. You know.
Well, I would say this, if someone came to my house, and this happens with like fundraising stuff.
Yeah.
Like, do you want to buy a pizza kit? I'm like, no, not really, but
yeah,
it's going to help you go to band camp or something. Okay, here's $10, you know, for the cheap pizza crap.
That you'll never bring to me.
No.
This is the last time we'll see each other.
Yeah, I know. But you still do that stuff. So, like, if it's a situation like that where he comes and he's like, hey, dude, I got this great chicken recipe.
Yeah.
You know, I'm doing pre-sale orders right now. How much do you want?
Right.
And they say, oh, I'll take a dozen wings or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, maybe that.
Uh-huh.
If you just show up with fresh, hot chicken.
You want to buy this?
Like, it smells pretty good.
We already had dinner, so, yeah. But it's 4 o'clock, you know.
Dude, it's 7 o'clock on a Saturday morning. I'm not eating fried chicken. I'm trying to make pancakes for my kids.
Mm. Have you ever had a fried chicken biscuit, though, for breakfast?
No.
Go to Chick-fil-A and get their chicken biscuit. It's pretty good.
Where's the closest Chick-fil-A?
Polaris.
Yeah, that's like an hour.
It's worth it.
I was going to say, we need to just make a separate White Castle trip.
Yeah.
We mentioned that on the last show.
Last week we talked about White Castle.
But there's a White Castle here in town that closed.
But every once in a while, the food truck shows up. Have you seen that?
No, I haven't seen the food truck.
There's a White Castle truck that every once in a while will park in front of the White Castle building.
Okay.
And sell it for like, you know, 4 or 5 hours. And there's always like a line of people.
Yeah.
So.
Well, my point is, every time I pass this White Castle that's been closed,
yeah.
Like I'm craving it now because we talked about it.
Yeah.
So,
instant regret, but let's do it.
Yeah.
All right. So, let's quickly talk about ESPN Streak for Cash.
Yes.
This is the game that we've been playing. Last week, you claimed victory over the month because you ended the month with the longest streak.
Yes.
I get a message from our friend John, who I've already mentioned a couple times.
You say our friend?
Yeah.
I don't know the guy.
No.
Friend of the show.
John was glad that he didn't meet you because he came into town. He was like, because he wanted to maintain, he feels like if he met you, then he wouldn't like hate you anymore.
Well, I almost thought about that. I almost called you because I knew he was coming up and doing lunch with you.
Mm-hmm.
And we live real close to you.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
I almost said, hey, swing John by the house. Like, so he could just come in, meet my kids and my wife, and like we're watching NFL football or whatever, like sit on the couch.
I think he's got friends. He doesn't need another friend. I mean.
No, but for me, it's like, don't hate me. I mean, no, I'm a normal person.
It's kind of fun to hate you, though.
Well.
I think he enjoys it.
Sometimes you know? You know. Whatever.
Either way.
It doesn't bother me. I don't care. Hate me.
Either way.
I don't need a friend either. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't care. I don't need any friends. I don't need you, John.
Either way, every once in a while I get a text message from just different people, friends, while they're listening to the show, you know, and nobody more than John. And I just get this message. It was like midnight from John. He just made up the freaking state streak rules. So what you said is the end of the month, but then John went back, did a little bit of homework.
Yeah.
He listened to like 4 episodes in a row, like 15-second jump, 15-second jump, until he found episode 39, time mark 6 minutes and 15 seconds. You said the highest streak wins, not the highest current streak at the end of the month. So, because of
here's the thing.
You and John and Husky Luke
we all tied.
Yeah.
Okay, my honest... And I'm not playing around.
Okay.
My honest impression of what we were doing was at the end of the month. That's why I stalled.
Yeah.
At the end of the month.
Well, it was obvious. Yeah, you were sitting on 9 wins.
I was sitting on 9.
A while. Yeah.
I honestly thought that's what we were doing.
Well, you were mistaken. So
what are we
tie?
So how does it work on ESPN?
Well, on ESPN, the person that gets the money is the person that ends the month.
Well, that's what we're doing.
And I think for our purposes, we should
do that. We're changing it. We're not even doing what real ESPN does. Because what if you have 15 wins on November 4th
mm-hmm.
and you sit on that?
I think that for our purposes, we should do the longest streak. Nobody's gotten to double digits yet, and we're all trying to. You know, so I think that, you know, you're already on one lost streak because you picked Hillary to win last night.
Yeah, that was a mistake.
So, all right. So, so that's how we're going to do it. You know, John seems to think that correct percentage, you know, during the month should count for something.
Well, I think maybe a tiebreaker.
Yeah, maybe it's a tiebreaker, you know, but you could just pick like four right in a row and then you'd be 100%. So that shouldn't be.
Okay, let's do this. Let's do the highest streak overall.
Okay.
Tiebreaker will be the win streak at the end of the month.
Okay.
So if you have a 15-game win streak halfway through the month and you fail,
mm-hmm.
you know, it still encourages you to get a high win streak, because if someone ties you,
right.
you want to end the month on a winning
streak. So we're going to start November off fresh, you know, and the winner of November is going to, you and I will walk into the local Goodwill, and the first sports paraphernalia that we see, hat, socks, kids t-shirt,
item of
adult
clothing.
T-shirt, hoodie, we're going to buy it, and we're going to send it to the winner.
Yes.
So you might be getting like a Montreal Canadiens, you know, long sleeve t-shirt. You know,
yeah.
For all we know, we don't know what we're gonna find.
Kids, you know, extra small maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we don't know. Yeah, we don't know.
It could be a baby's onesie.
Yeah. So, so moving forward, so Brandon, who we've talked about, multiple times, has written the show again, and first of all, you know, said that he's almost positive that he has a team T-ball picture of us when we were, you know, 4, 5, 6 years old, and so he said he's going to be looking for that, and hopefully he'll post it on the Facebook page.
He has to post that.
Yeah, if he has it, I hope he posts it. So I'm gonna make it my profile picture. I'll zoom in on me and make it my. I have a picture of me, but it's like Little League, you know.
Now, when you do that, I want to make sure this picture doesn't have names on it.
Yeah, we don't want to
associate the booger picker.
No, we don't need to do that.
You know.
He had glasses.
The only kid on the team with glasses.
But maybe he wasn't wearing them in the picture.
You know, we were joking around that that kid, the booger picker, was had Chuck Knobloch disease.
Yeah.
But he had John Lester disease.
Yeah.
He could not throw the ball normal to
Why
first base.
Why people don't steal on Lester? I'll never understand. Make him do it.
He since like June.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Lead off. Make him do it.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense to me. We'll talk about the World Series. We'll still talk about that.
I want to see a guy. Okay, in general, I want to see a guy just lead off and just keep and just
make
walk.
Him do it.
Just walk to second base. Because what is he going to do?
Yeah. Make him do it. That's what I say.
Yeah. How funny would that be if Lester just watched a guy walk from first to second? Yeah.
You just have to. You have to make him do it. Sacrifice an out. Mess with his head. That's what baseball's about.
Yeah.
You know. Take the advantage that's given to you, or maximize on.
Well, there's so many regular season games.
Yeah,
like that's the time to do it.
You don't do it like in the World
Series.
Not
World Series,
game 7 or anything.
No.
Yeah, you don't mess around there. But during the season, you should be doing it as much as possible.
Yeah,
you know, because that's part of being a pitcher is being able to pick.
Billy Hamilton ought to be able to steal 100 bases against him.
Here's what makes zero sense too. John Lester's a lefty. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I mean of. Maybe the turn and throw, you could see the technical difficulty. He's a lefty.
He's looking right at you.
That probably makes it more difficult.
Does he even play catch?
I don't know.
Like, to me, it seems as though, like, he refuses to throw the ball more than, what's the distance of the plate? Is it 60-some feet?
Yeah, I forget.
I don't know. But it seems like that's the only distance he'll ever throw.
As hard as he can.
Never Maybe. Shorter, never further. He throws 65 feet and that's it.
I don't know. I don't know what it is. And he's a great pitcher.
He is a great pitcher.
Yeah.
But
yeah, that could mess him up.
I don't know why more people don't bunt either.
Mm-hmm.
People should be bunting right at him.
Yeah.
Because it freaks him out. Just get in his head.
That's what I would do. I would do it and do it and do it.
Yeah.
And just get him out of the game.
I'd be tempted to have everybody bunt just right back at the pitcher.
You would do that. But you're right. It's a regular season game thing.
Yes.
It's not a postseason thing.
No. Especially if you've got a really good lead in your division, mm-hmm. or you're really, really bad.
Right.
Like this year, the Reds had no chance of making it.
Yeah.
This would have been the year for the Reds to go up against the Cubs and bunt 100 times against them and just see what happens.
Why not?
Yeah.
It's not going to, you know, so we'll have one more loss on a, like, almost 100 game loss. See, I mean, the Reds didn't lose 100, but it was close.
It was bad.
It was really bad. I was actually, some of us went out at the beginning of the season, the Reds' first game.
Yeah.
And I think there were four or five of us, and then we all picked how many games the Reds were going to win. I was two games away.
Really?
Yeah. I was pretty proud of myself. All right. So so as far as Brandon goes, the other thing, Brandon is our only regular contributor that doesn't have a nickname.
Yes.
So he suggests, and we talked about that, he had a couple suggestions.
Well, the one we brought up was Dirtmouth.
Dirtmouth. But he said that, I think what he said was that he didn't want to tell his mom that he was on a podcast and his alias on the podcast was Dirty Mouth. You know, he thought that was, you know, and I can sympathize with that. So no Dirty Mouth for Brandon, although he did, and he did say the reason that he chewed his
mouthpiece
in the dirt and then, you know, all that, it was an intimidation factor. Make the other team think he was crazy, you know.
He was crazy.
Yeah, he was crazy. Yeah. Here's another funny story. Brandon, and who we're going to have a nickname for by the end of the show, and then Andy, someone we've already talked about, one of our first basemen, were walking home from school one day.
Yeah.
Brandon, correct me if I'm wrong. Andy picks up a rock, throws it, and hits Brandon in the back of the head.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and so Brandon picks up a rock, chucks it right back at Andy, hits Andy square between his two front teeth, and chip, put this huge, like, triangle chip in between his two front teeth. Like, massive, you know? Like, I mean, just nailed him.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, my gosh.
And those are probably adult teeth, right?
Yeah, I think Andy's probably still capped today. Yeah, I mean, man. Still, you know.
And think about that, like,
what a throw.
David killed Goliath with a rock.
Yeah, right.
Brandon could have killed... I mean, you hit him right between the eyes.
Yeah.
Andy could have fell over like Goliath.
Andy was kind of a giant, too.
Yeah, so, well, in comparison to Brandon,
yeah. Sure. Oh, my gosh. That was so funny. So, anyway. So, Brandon had some suggestions. He's like, wild thing.
Well, first of all, we haven't let anybody nickname themselves.
No, that's true.
We have dictated the nickname to everybody.
Yeah, we have. So, you know, one of the things, so he said wild thing, you know, he had some other suggestions too. He mentioned that he, at one time, I love this. He said at one time he could drink a brisk iced tea faster than anyone else at school, which is hilarious. I'm sure it's true, but I don't ever remember like holding competitions.
I remember they sold brisk, lemon brisk iced tea. I remember buying it every day. I would have a, I don't know why, I'd have a bagel with cream cheese and a,
I think I had the same thing. Tea. Yeah, because they had the little bagels and you could get the cream cheese. Yeah. So Brandon would drink brisk iced tea every day, and he did drink it super fast.
Yeah,
super fast.
So thinking, like iced tea, ice B.
Brandon, I was thinking brisk Brandon because it's alliteration. B the B and the B.
I think like iced tea.
Yeah,
like, you know,
I get it.
Ice B.
Iced B.
Ice B wrote into the show again.
Yeah, let's go with Iced B.
Well, I just thought of that. Before the show, we were just kicking it around.
Well, you said maybe Brisky Brandon?
Yeah, Brisky Brandon. Yeah. Like almost a playoff of Husky Luke, Brisky Brandon.
Yeah. Iced B is okay.
Iced B. Just Iced B. I don't think it has to be iced.
Oh.
Just Iced
B. It's iced tea.
I know, but it's not... We're making it up. It's whatever we want.
It can be whatever we want. Ice B.
Ice B.
Okay.
He's as cold as ice.
All right.
You're as cold as ice.
Like you said, we haven't run any of the nicknames by any of the people. We have,
and I don't care if Brandon approves or not.
Yeah. So
can still sit on. We don't have to live with Ice B right now. Okay. But I kind of like Ice B.
Yeah.
Ice B wrote into the show again.
Organic. It came out of.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, actually, John Meadows doesn't have a nickname because...
Well, he's the only one.
But John Meadows, it's a great name. You know, like John Meadows. So, I don't know. It just rolls off the tongue very easily for me. So, speaking of nicknames, and I mean, we're going super... If this is your first time listening to the show...
I'm sorry.
You probably shut it off a long time ago. This is all, like, we're taking care of house business right now.
Yes.
Adam the Male Nurse
Yes.
texted, and he's... Adam's a super type A personality.
Yes.
Is what you need to know about Adam. I mean, buttoned up, everything is always, you know, like just right. And he's very bothered by Luke's nickname. Now, we call him Husky Luke.
Now, does he know Luke in real life?
I don't think so. I mean, they both live in Montana.
Yeah, that's why I didn't know if there's a connection.
No, if they've met, I don't know
about. So they don't know each other. There's no connection.
No.
Okay.
Yeah. So, he's very bothered that we call him Husky Luke. Right. Because that's UW, like Washington or Connecticut.
Yeah.
You know, and obviously it's Husker.
Right.
You know, the Huskers. And so,
corn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He says it bothers him and he feels like it should bother everybody. and it really, I think it's almost like a deal breaker for him, I think.
Like he's getting ready to quit the show.
I don't want to put words in Adam's mouth, but he was pretty upset about it. You know, apparently it just makes his skin crawl every time we say Husky Luke.
The problem is, it's more than just. You know, we weren't going to make fun of Luke's weight.
No, because we're both
equally as fat,
if probably fatter. I see pictures of Luke like running on Facebook. So
I don't run.
You don't run.
No,
I'll never run. I went to play paintball this weekend. You know, I sprinted from one protection point to another,
and
I was out. I just stood up. I mean, like, and the referee was like, "No, you don't have any paint on you." I'm like, "I'm exhausted.
I'm out." That's funny.
So So the Husky Luke thing, it came up organically. You know, it's kind of a joke, like, "Oh, let's call him Husky Luke because we're the Huskers." So, I mean, Adam, I'm sorry. You know, you're my friend. You know, like, we're going to keep calling him Husky Luke. I thought about maybe just saying Huskery Luke.
Huskery.
You know? Kind of combining that.
I don't like it.
But, no.
Husky Luke.
Husky Luke has a nice ring to it, you know. And I love confusing people to listen to the show. Like, why is Husky Luke always talking about Nebraska? Shouldn't he be talking about Washington
or,
you know, Connecticut? So, very funny. So, that's all the house business done. I mean, I don't know how far we are into the show.
20 minutes or something. Okay, so quick question, though.
Yeah.
You were telling me the other day, and you can go back and edit and mute this if you want, because I can't remember exactly what it was. On the Dan Le Batard show, Stu Gotz is not his real name.
No. His name is John Wiener.
John Wiener.
Which
like
I
the senator.
I think, which, yeah, like, what's the senator's first name?
Oh, Anthony Wiener.
Anthony Wiener.
Which sounds worse.
I told you the other day, when it comes to last names, you can pronounce them however you want. You can tell people it's a name. It's not like a proper like word.
Right.
You can pronounce it. So why wouldn't you say my name is Wiener? You know, like why would you go Wiener? Like, you know what I mean? Just change it. Say it's my name is Wiener.
Yeah.
You know? Wiener or something, you know? Like, why would you go with, I don't understand. But John Wiener is Stu Gotz's name. I did a little bit of research.
Yeah. So you don't want to be called John Wiener.
No, apparently not.
Yeah.
You know, that wasn't a good show name. So they changed his name to Stu Gotz.
Yeah.
Which is Italian, I think. If my research is correct, Stu Gotz is Italian for it's a translation of John Wiener, basically, into Italian.
You can do the math in your head.
Yeah.
So but Stu Gotz, I would have thought that's his real name.
Stu Gotz.
Yeah.
Sounds like
Stu. Gotz.
Yeah,
like
right.
Two different, like, Stu is his first name,
right,
and Gotz is his second name.
But if you notice, Le Batard always calls him Stu Gotz, never calls him Stu
or John.
Gotz. Oh, it never calls him John. It just calls him Stu Gotz.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's very funny. All right.
So, are we sticking with Ice B?
For now, unless something, you know, it doesn't, it's Ice B, it's a little hard to say, I think. I don't know. But Ice B, you know, you got your Ice T, you know.
Yeah, well,
he's a rapper, Ice T, right? That commercial is pretty funny. The Ice T commercial.
Ice T? No, man, it's lemonade.
It's lemonade.
Lemonade, man. Read the sign. Lemonade.
Is that Ice T? It's lemonade. That's pretty funny.
What's wrong with these people?
Ice B.
Yeah, I like it.
Okay.
Well, it's different than our other ones. If it's Brisky Brandon, to me, it feels too much like Husky Luke.
Right. And it's got the connotation because Brandon, you know, his apparently crowning achievement in life is that at one point he could drink brisk iced tea faster than anybody at Elgin High School.
Which is impressive.
It is. Let's not lie. It was impressive. So let's move on to sports because this is somewhat a sports show. So the college football picks. Last week, I picked Nebraska Speaking of Husky Luke, I picked Nebraska to beat Ohio State. In fact, I sent Husky Luke a message on Facebook before the game, and I said, hey, I think you guys are going to win.
Well, I think, because you're at my house when you did it right as there was a pick six.
Well, it was like literally a minute before the pick six, I sent him a message, you know, good luck tonight, you know, for what it's worth.
Looks like you're going to win.
For what it's worth, I think you're going to win.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And then pick six, and I thought Luke might view it as sarcasm, like, because he probably, there's a good chance he read it after the pick six,
right,
you know.
Right.
Oh, good luck, dude. Good luck tonight. Looks like you're going to win, you know. But honestly, I honestly thought that they were going to win.
Yeah.
But I'm a sports pessimist, you know, by nature.
Like our father and his father and the father before him.
Right. Right. That's a line from Star Wars, which we will get into by the end of the show, hopefully. Yeah. But not only did Ohio State not lose, they trounced them. It was like an Akron score. You know, like, it was like when Ohio State plays Bowling Green or something.
Yeah.
It was nuts. It was
really, really bad. Not in a million years would I have guessed that.
Not that score.
No.
3 points. All they got was a field goal.
If you would have told me before the game, it was, 62-3 or something. If you would have told me before the game, the final score is going to be 62-3, I might have thought, man, Nebraska really did good.
Right.
Like, seriously. Like, if you would have just told me the score and not who won and who lost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Because Ohio State has looked awful over the last couple weeks.
Horrible. But maybe they figured it out. I don't know. Or maybe Nebraska just had a really down day. I don't know. But last week in our college football picks, we only had two games. We had the Ohio State-Nebraska game, and then we had Alabama-LSU. We both picked Alabama, who won. You picked Ohio State. I picked Nebraska. So that, at the year, puts you at 18-5.
Okay.
And puts me at 13-10. So I'm still above 500.
I'm still gaining ground. I mean, I'm still expanding that lead.
Yes, you have expanded the lead. So this week, there's only two games, ranked teams against ranked teams. The first one barely meets the bill. LSU is ranked 24th, and Akron SAS is ranked 25th. So technically, they're both top 25 teams. It couldn't be worse as far as the matchup goes. So what do you have, LSU or Akron SAS?
The game is at Arkansas.
Yes.
So I'm going to go Arkansas. LSU is favored by 7.
Okay.
So, you know, and they both have 3 losses on the year. It's probably a really even matchup.
Yeah.
But on something like this, I'll go with the home team.
Okay. I'm going to take LSU just for the difference. And it's, you know, they are favored for a reason. To be favored on the road is a real thing.
Yeah.
And here's my thing. The reason I pick LSU, too, is last week they played Alabama. And Alabama is so good that playing now another team is going to seem probably a lot easier than having to play Alabama.
Yeah.
You know, it would be like if you played an NFL team and then next week you had to play a college team almost, you know. So I'm going to pick LSU. The next game is the USC Trojans against the Huskies of UW, Washington, the actual Huskies. USC is ranked 20th and Washington is ranked 4th. Now, I mean, I keep on waiting for Washington to lose.
Yeah.
This game is at Washington. It feels like, okay, USC might not be what they were. There's not Reggie Bush and Matt Leinart and all of these guys. But it is a team that's got plenty of talent. This feels like a game that Washington would lose.
Yes, I agree. I'm going to pick Washington to win.
Uh-huh.
They're playing at home.
Yeah.
Which, here's the thing, by the way, if the West Coast wants to cry about an East Coast bias, because it is real, there is an East Coast bias.
Yeah.
100% there is. It's because us on the East Coast can't stay up and watch your games that go until 2 in the morning.
Start at 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah, stop it with all the late games. Like, for them, it's a late afternoon game.
Yeah.
But you know what? Start playing your games at noon, which is like 4 o'clock in the afternoon for us.
Did you know that China does not have time zones?
Really?
There's just one time throughout the whole country.
I'm waiting. Eventually, there will be a world time.
Yeah.
There will be. It'll just be one world time. You know,
whatever Donald Trump's watch says.
Well, we're going to make the world great again.
Make the world great again.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, why stop with America?
I don't know. Yeah, that's a good question. Why stop with America? All right. So so you've got Washington. Honestly, I don't think Washington's going to go undefeated. I'm convinced they're going to lose at some point. Why not pick today? It would give me a chance to get some separation. So we have two separate picks.
Okay.
So I'm going to pick USC. So all of that taken care of, there's really nothing else to talk about. You know, as far as Ohio State goes, which we're Ohio State fans, I don't know what the game means. I don't know what that win means. This week they're playing Maryland. You would think that they would kill Maryland.
They're favored by 29.
Yeah, but if you told me Maryland played Ohio State tough or even beat them this week, I'd be like, eh, you know.
Well, if you're a betting man, I'd take, I mean, not gun to my head. I mean, like if you had an extra $100.
Right.
I'd take Maryland plus 29.
Gun to your foot.
No, not gun to my foot.
You can come up with like a downgraded version of gun to your head, you know. Like
BB gun?
BB gun to your thigh. How about BB gun to your thigh?
BB gun to your thigh. I would take, if I had a BB gun to my thigh, I would take Maryland plus 29.
That's really good. I hope that sticks. BB gun to my thigh. I have to write that down. In fact, I think I found the name of the episode. BB gun to my thigh. Oh my gosh. I think that's pretty good. So you like Maryland at the point. In other words, you like Ohio State to win, but maybe by 14.
I don't think Ohio State is good. Now, I love Ohio State. They're my team.
Yeah,
everything else.
Yeah.
I've seen them play. And with the exception of last week.
I don't know what happened last week.
I'm afraid Michigan's going to crush them.
You think we can get John to go to the game this week? Or at least to the Michigan game?
What game?
John Meadows was at the Nebraska game. Okay. To me, that's the X factor, obviously.
He's the one that pushed it over the top.
I guess. They never played like that before. It was the first game he's ever been to.
Really?
Yeah.
First Ohio State game. He's been to other...
I assume, but he said it's the first Ohio State game.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we got to find a way to get him at the Michigan game.
Yeah, it's at Ohio State this year, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, let's make that happen. Start a GoFundMe. I'm going to be honest with you. If we did a GoFundMe for Ohio State Michigan tickets, and you told me that, Dan, if you go, Ohio State's going to lose, I guarantee it. But if John goes, I'll guarantee you that Ohio State's going to win. I would still take the tickets and go because, you know, when are you going to get a chance to go to Ohio State Michigan game?
I don't know. Honestly, I don't even like going to the games.
I've never been to one.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I've been to like 7.
Well, good for you. I've been to basketball games.
Yeah, football is not meant for live. It's awful.
Yeah, I'm a little upset at our brother-in-law, Josh, because he would get basketball tickets, and like he took you to see like Mike Conley and Greg Oden. And that,
versus
like,
Michigan State, which had like, was it Mateen Cleaves?
No, that was after Mateen Cleaves, I think.
Was it?
Yeah. Well, maybe. Anyway,
I don't know.
It was
a great Michigan State.
It was like
team.
The game of the year, Ohio State versus Michigan State that year. And when I went with Josh took me to see a basketball game, and it was the Costa Cufas Ohio State team against, like, you know.
Costa Cufas?
Yeah, Costa Cufas against, like, American University or something, you know. So I'm a little upset about that. But what are you going to do? So that's that. That leads us into, so college basketball is just starting, right?
Yeah.
Here, really quickly, here's what
I'm for the record, I know nothing about it.
Nobody does.
No, that's in previous years, I
that's
do.
What college basketball is.
Yeah.
No, I mean, every...
The best players leave, and you have no idea who the rest of the guys are.
And the
are.
Best players are new, too, every year, because they're always freshmen,
right,
you know?
Right.
So it's not like you can be like, oh, this guy for the last couple of years has been coming up. No, the best 10 players this year, 8 of them are going to be freshmen.
Yeah.
You know,
well, I just saw a thing, a highlight on my ESPN on my phone. Some guy at Villanova was like, look out for this guy.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Call me in March. That's what I say. So
I'll watch it before March.
But so here's what I'll call our old man segment, maybe the get off my lawn segment of the show.
Get off my lawn.
I saw the highlights of a Kentucky game. They're playing some team that I was not familiar with.
Yeah.
You know, I think it was like the...
School for the Blind.
Yeah, Milwaukee School for the Blind or something like that. But they beat... At one point, they were up by 100 points.
Yeah.
There's a fast break. This dude takes off from about like halfway from the free throw line. And the guy from the other team, this little white kid, you know, tries to get in his way. And the guy just completely posterizes him.
Why is he going to be a white kid?
Well,
he just was.
White guys can't jump.
That's true.
They wouldn't make a movie called White Men Can't Jump if white men could jump. Other than Brent Barry.
Yeah.
Remember Brent Barry? He won a dunk competition.
Yeah.
You know, more as like a novelty though. You know, I was like, white dude can jump.
He just dunked it.
Yeah. It's like there's one white guy that can rap Eminem. You know, there's like one white guy that can jump. You know, I think that's the way they view it. Well, Vanilla Ice can rap too. Let's ninja rap. Come on.
Ninja. Ninja.
Rap. Go ninja. Go ninja. Go. So, anyway, so he completely posterizes this guy. The entire Kentucky bench jumps off the bench, you know, and is like, oh, and like waving towels and like pushing each other and doing that whole thing. I'm like, yeah. Guys, come on. I mean, you're playing a high school team.
Yeah.
Show a little. I mean, it's not, you know, when you do that to Villanova or something, you know, maybe get excited. Or he dunks over like if somebody dunked over like a Greg Oden type, a college type or something like that. Okay, yeah. But a like 5 foot nothing, you know, dude from a college that nobody's ever heard of.
Right.
No, I don't need that. I don't need that. So act like you've been there before.
Yeah.
So there's my get off my lawn segment. I was very upset about that. It really boiled my blood. I'm watching, I'm like, dude, calm down.
Like, Kentucky basketball is like Alabama football. I mean, they're just better than everybody else.
They just reload.
Yeah.
Ever since Calipari's been there.
You know? I mean, there's other teams in football. There's other teams in basketball. But to me, I mean, Calipari in Kentucky is on par with Saban in Alabama.
Yeah.
Well, they're just so much better than
Alabama
else.
And Kentucky probably pay their players more than everybody else does. that's what I assume. Or their parents or whatever. So, sticking with basketball, the Cavs got their first loss last night. And two nights ago, Stephen Curry hit 13 three-pointers in one game.
Yes.
Which is a record. That's what's 13 times 3. It's, what, 39?
Yeah.
He got 39 points. On threes alone.
And he probably ended the game with 42.
I was like 46 throws. Or something like that. Yeah.
It was probably free throws was his only other point.
He was just checking it up.
So. And he doesn't shoot within the 3-point line.
No.
On a fast break, he'll pull up and shoot a three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if I could shoot like that, I would too.
Yeah.
That's just...
We've had these conversations many, many, many times, and we're coming up to the NBA season. We're going to have many more of them. Mm-hmm. But Curry's the purest, best shooter in the league currently.
Yeah.
There's no way better shooting.
No.
I mean, at this point, we're talking about is he an all-time great.
Yeah. I mean, the question is who's the second best shooter? And, you know, it's Klay Thompson, probably.
And then third best, Kevin Durant?
No, I don't think so. I think Kyle Korver is probably.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. So, so the NBA, you know, the Cavs get their first loss, which, you know, to the Hawks, that's fine. It's just going to happen. Really quickly, the NFL, we're officially at the midseason point.
Yes.
As of today, the best two teams are the Cowboys and the Patriots.
Yes.
The Cowboys are really good.
Yeah.
I mean, they're really good. And Jerry Jones, they keep on asking him about Tony Romo. He's like, let's wait and see. Let's wait and see. If Jerry Jones calls you up, Jason, BB gun to your thigh, and says, hey, listen, Tony Romo is completely healthy. Do you think I should start him this week? What do you say?
I will up the ante and say gun to my head.
Okay.
It's Dak, 100%.
You take Dak.
Dak Prescott, 100%.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a Bledsoe Brady situation because I don't think Dak Prescott is Tom Brady.
Yeah.
But I think the Breeze, not Tom Breeze, Brady and Bledsoe combination is probably accurate.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Bledsoe and Romo.
Right.
You know, I think they're both very good.
Yeah. Drew Bledsoe was a great quarterback.
That's what I'm saying. They're very good. They put up great numbers. They win a lot of games. Mm-hmm. But this other guy's probably, I mean, at this point, I think he's better.
And the team has rallied around him.
Yeah.
He's, you know.
Young, excited. Mm-hmm. That team is young and exciting.
And so here's your thing. Like, let's say Tony Romo was a little bit better, right? You know, Dak Prescott made some mistakes, like, in their loss. So, like, maybe if Tony Romo is the quarterback and he's completely healthy, maybe they're undefeated. You know, maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe not. But you could say, well, put in Tony Romo, and then if he gets hurt, you got Dak right there. And then you're fine. The problem with that is I think you want Dak to get as much play time as you can this year, season, because if you are in the playoffs, you want him to have as much experience as possible.
Right.
You don't want it to be like the situation's too big for him.
No. To me, the best case scenario is to have Romo on the sideline with the clipboard. If Dak gets hurt,
right.
Now you got Romo coming off the bench. You could still win the Super Bowl.
I'd rather have Romo off the bench than Dak off the bench.
Yes, I agree.
Keep Dak's in a rhythm. Keep him going. Just tell Tony, listen, you've done well here. You know, we love you. You're going to have a job in Dallas forever.
Right.
But now we got to stick with you.
And here's the thing. People get hurt all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, all the time.
Right.
And so you know, I know he's getting older, but just have a little patience. Dak, you know, if he continues, I mean, eventually Dak will get hurt too.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's going to happen this year, but.
So it looks like if we had to pick now the Cowboys and the Patriots.
Which I had the Cowboys in our preseason picks. I had the Cowboys winning their division.
And you had the Patriots in the Super Bowl.
And I had the Patriots in the Super Bowl, winning right. their division and the Super Bowl. So
feeling pretty good about that.
I feel pretty good about that. I mean, I had Green Bay winning the NFC. Yeah. Excuse me, the NFC, but which could still happen.
Yeah.
You know, but I think the Cowboys and the Patriots are the best two by a long shot.
I think so. As far as the Patriots go, did you know that the player in the league with the longest yards per reception, if you had to guess who's the longest yards per reception?
Julio Jones.
It makes sense.
Yeah, or A.J. Green.
It's Gronkowski. The fact that
he hasn't even played all year, though.
Well, he's played enough.
Yeah.
I mean, just the fact that a tight end has the longest yards per reception.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing because a tight end is made to get 10 yards, right? It's a Mark Bavaro situation, you know?
Right.
So.
Well, do you think, I don't know, I feel a little, I hate how they call these guys tight ends just based on their size and weight.
Well,
because Gronk, they line up in a slot. They line up wide.
They send him out. But the thing about Gronk that I think makes him the best tight end ever, I think we're watching the best tight end ever.
Yeah.
Is that he can block. He's a
big, I agree. He rarely does. He's almost always out on a pass.
Yeah. So it's a different position.
It's
Gates.
Yeah, there's a new wave of those.
Jimmy Graham.
Yeah. The problem is you got to put a linebacker on him.
Yeah.
And so they're faster than the linebacker.
Yeah.
You put a cornerback, those cornerbacks are small.
Dan Le Batard calls Gronkowski a polar bear who they've trained to catch footballs.
I can see that. I wish we came up with another title for that.
Right.
Because to me, tight end, you're on the line.
Tight out.
Yeah, there's a tight end and a tight out. Your tight end is the guy who's blocking. Yeah. Occasionally
he's
goes out for the
he's
pass.
He's on the end of the line.
Yeah, your tight out is the guy who's lining up as a wide receiver.
Yeah.
You know, for all intents and purposes, he is a wide receiver.
Right.
Who occasionally blocks.
Big slot. How about you?
The big slot.
Yeah, it's something. So that's the NFL. The World Series. Now, our last episode, we were recording the morning of Game 7.
Yes.
Then both of us stayed up super late to watch. I stayed up later to watch the World Series than I did the election coverage. So I went to bed last night. I was like, I can't go to bed. I can't stay up any longer. I wanted to see, you know, what the final thing was. But the World Series, you text me in the ninth inning, and you're like, dude, my cable just went out.
Yeah. It was ninth inning, one out.
Yeah.
Bottom of the ninth. One out.
And your cable goes out.
All of town went out. The TV cable.
I'm watching the game online, so I was like, you can come over here if you want, because it didn't go out for me. So.
Well, I immediately, like, Shelby freaks out.
Right.
You know, because I'm like, Jason, oh my gosh, Jason! Yeah. You know, I'm like, so I run downstairs, where, like, the cable runs into the house. Like, I unplugged everything, plugged everything back in. I run back upstairs. It's still out.
Yeah.
I run upstairs to check the other TVs.
Yeah.
And the TVs are all out.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there was, and on Facebook, I mean, everybody's freaking out who has Time Warner, unofficial sponsor of the show, Time Warner.
Yeah.
But the internet was still on. So I got it on my tablet. So we watched half the 10th inning on my tablet.
Okay.
And then most of the rain delay, and then the first part of the 10th inning on my tablet.
Yeah.
And then the TV came back on.
Right.
So we saw the end of the game on the TV.
Okay. Well, I watched the whole thing. It was the best World Series game I've ever seen that I can remember, you know, just as far as the ups and downs. It wasn't perfectly played. There were mistakes, but to me, that's what made it fun.
Right.
You know, were the mistakes.
Well, we talked about that, like, on both sides. Why are you putting Andrew Miller in the game six? Why are you putting Chapman in game six?
Yeah, and obviously that came into play.
For both of them, and for different reasons. Chapman, you're winning by so much in game six. Mm-hmm. Let him rest.
Chapman was gassed.
Yeah, well, Andrew Miller was too.
Yeah.
The Andrew Miller gave up two runs in the game seven. Andrew Miller hadn't given up two runs the whole postseason.
Right.
And he gave up two in game seven. Yeah. Had you not pitched him the night before, he might have been rested to the point where he can get through that.
I thought they both made a mistake. I just think they were both in panic mode.
They were.
And they just said, we just got to get through these next two games.
They were both pressing.
But the truth is, and we watched Chapman play at the Reds for a while. When he's been overworked, he'll give up some runs.
Oh yeah,
you know.
Well, that's what, like Shelby was freaking out being a Cleveland fan. I'm like, trust me, Chapman's going to give up a run.
Yeah,
like it will be fine.
Right.
Cleveland will score on him because first of all, they've seen him for a couple days in a row. Mm-hmm. You see a guy a couple days in a row, and you're timing him up.
Yeah,
you just are. You see his stuff. You see the release point. You see the, you know, the spin on the ball, whatever he's got going on for him. But Chapman is most effective when you've never seen him.
Yeah.
He's just blown right by it.
Right. Yeah. The difference between... So, there's a documentary called Fastball on Netflix.
Yeah.
And they say the difference between a 100-mile-an-hour fastball and a 93-mile-an-hour fastball is like 3 feet, basically.
Yeah.
Like, it gets to you 3 feet faster, which is a huge deal.
Well,
you
know? In a fraction of a second, so, 3 feet.
So, a lot of guys, your fastball is 95... Chapman's is 105, right?
Right.
So, like, I mean, just to think about that. If you're used, if what you're used to is like, listen, the fastest thing coming at me is 95. And at any second, now Chapman's in there and a ball might be coming in 10 miles an hour fastball faster is nuts. It's crazy to think about. And that's what makes Chapman great. You know, he was topping out when he was tired at 98, which is a really fast. I mean,
but it's not 105.
But it's not 105.
Yeah.
And what makes him great is the fact that that 105 is out there, like, could happen.
When you're sitting on the 105 fastball and then he throws a breaking ball or like a 95 mile an hour changeup,
right? Yeah.
Like, you're like, it locks you up.
Oh, absolutely.
You know?
So, and he at one point, I think, threw like 10 out of 12 pitches were sliders.
Yeah.
Chapman, if Chapman throws 10 out of 12 sliders, you know something's wrong.
He doesn't have the
juice. It should be fastball, fastball, fastball.
Yeah.
That's it.
Blow right by you.
Right.
I remember like being in Little League going to get, you know, I mean, you're a little kid.
Yeah.
But you feel like the ball's coming so fast. It's probably going like 65 miles an hour. But I remember thinking, like, I'm going to start swinging as soon as I see him start to move.
Right. I did that.
Because, like, you can't hardly get around quick enough.
We went up against this kid who played for Waldo. He was a left-handed pitcher. And I got like 4 hits on him in the game and nobody else hit him. And I remember thinking, like, I'm just going to start swinging now.
Yeah.
You know, like, and I'm like, closed my eyes and I just got lucky. Boom, 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 4 times in a row. And obviously, what is he throwing?
Maybe 70.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I can't even imagine. It's just, they say that's like physically impossible. Like, scientists don't know how anybody ever hits a ball that's coming 100 miles an hour. Like, it's like,
yeah.
It shouldn't be possible. So it's crazy. So the other thing is the last out of the game, Chris Bryant, third base.
Yeah,
it's kind of like a little dribbler, not an easy play. It's not like a gimme. And as he's running at the ball, he's got like an ear to ear smile. Like, to me, that says he's the best player I think in baseball now. Like, I think he's elevated himself to the best player in baseball. And he's so confident that I'm going to make this play. He's like celebrating before he's even made the throw. He's like, "Oh, this is over."
You know?
And it was a tense moment. You know, it wasn't like you could see that happening in my mind. Like, if the Cubs, if it was the ninth inning, bottom of the ninth, and the Cubs are up by 6, you know, and him like, "Oh, this is," you know, and being that loose in that moment, to be that loose in a moment where like, one hit in the game could be over for you.
Right.
The whole thing could be over.
Right.
And then he throws the ball to Rizzo, and Rizzo immediately takes the ball out of his glove and puts it in his back pocket, which I'm like, that's genius.
Yeah.
You know, because you're going to hold on to that thing.
And if you ever pull a ball out, like you give it to the Cubs or whatever, I give them a fake ball. I keep that real one
on
the shelf.
Yeah, because it's, you know, they use a brand new ball every time.
Yeah, you wouldn't know the difference.
No, you wouldn't know the difference.
You go to the dugout and grab any ball and say that was the last one.
Yeah, this is the one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's, I think he should give it to Bill Murray. That's what I think.
Why? Why Bill Murray?
That's like, he's like, you know, the most famous Cubs fan.
I think they should encase it and put it on Harry Carey's, like, gravesite or something.
That'd be good.
Like, make it into the granite tombstone.
Right.
Like, we're going to, you know.
Like, encase it in a jar of beer and put it over. Like, Harry Carey's.
Embalm it.
Yeah, like, Harry Carey's two favorite things. Yeah.
Baseball and beer.
I think so. So that's, I don't know what time are we at. I can't see
like
the time. Okay, so that's pretty much it. I did want to give my Netflix suggestion of the week and maybe tease something that we're going to talk about at some point. Next week, maybe, you know, maybe not.
Trail of Broken Promises.
Yeah, so it'll just put it on the Trail of Broken Promises. But my Netflix suggestion of the week, we're both Star Wars fans.
Yes.
We've mentioned this. We're very excited to see the
Rogue One
coming out. One of the exciting things about Rogue One is that it is going to have Darth Vader in it.
Yes.
Now, I just watched this, and I will say I was tired, so I napped a little bit during it. You know, not a reflection of the documentary, just of me. But there's a documentary on Netflix called I Am Your Father, I think is what it's called.
Okay.
And it's about David Prowse. Now, okay. David Prowse is the actor that played Darth Vader.
In the suit. Because the voice is...
The voice is James Earl Jones.
James Earl Jones, right.
And it's just about him, and it's fascinating. Did you know, I didn't know this, that that very last scene where you see Darth Vader's face for the very first time?
Yeah.
That's not David Prowse. And not only is that not David Prowse, but David Prowse was not told that he was going to not be the actor in that scene.
Yeah.
And they had two separate studios, and they recorded that scene away from him. Didn't even tell him that they were recording it at the time.
Yeah.
He was doing like B-roll footage somewhere else.
Yeah.
And they record that scene, and he didn't even know it. Like,
so he didn't know it until it came out, like in theaters?
Well, eventually he found out, because obviously he never... That was in the script, and he didn't record scene.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh yeah, we did it with somebody else, you know? Like the one chance you get to see his face, and you don't get to see it, and so it's like his story and where he came from and how he came up. It's a really fascinating documentary.
So who's the guy that they show? Is he anybody?
I didn't recognize his name, you know, but they thought he'd be better for it. But apparently, it was George Lucas's. George Lucas refused to be interviewed for this documentary.
Yeah.
George Lucas has never invited David Prowse. He's never talked to him or called him or contacted him since this.
Yeah.
Like all of these like Star Wars conventions and stuff that they do, you know, like that George Lucas, they never invite David Prowse.
Wow.
Because David Prowse in an interview, before, you know, in between episode one and two or four, you know what I mean? The first and second, made a statement like, oh, wouldn't it be great if Darth Vader was Luke Skywalker's father?
Oh.
And it looked like he was spilling the beans on the biggest secret ever.
Yeah.
But he was just theorizing because he didn't know. He's like, I didn't have the script. Nobody knew, you know?
Right.
Somebody asked me, we were just talking about it, like, oh, wouldn't that be cool?
Right.
And apparently George Lucas was like super ticked off about it and was like, you're dead to me.
Well, you could replace him. Nobody knows what he looks like, and it's a different voice. It's James Earl Jones' voice. You could put anybody behind the suit.
Anybody that's the same size. This the guy that played Darth Vader was a big guy.
Yeah, but you can find another big guy.
Just put the Chewbacca guy in a suit.
Yeah, right?
And then it's So anyway, it's really kind of like you feel bad for the guy, you know.
Yeah.
But so watch I Am Your Father, and so in it they said the phrase that Darth Vader is the greatest villain of all time.
Okay.
And I thought, that could be a fun draft. Greatest villains of all time.
We could do Mount Rushmore style or draft style?
I think we should do a draft.
Okay.
We'll both pick five, you know, our five villains. And maybe, you know, Darth Vader's the number one pick. Maybe he's not.
Well, what about Lucifer?
I think he's on the board. You know, like, I don't know if you want to go first round with him, you know.
Lucifer? I think he's number one overall.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, it's like he's been around for a long time and he hasn't really accomplished anything. You know what I mean? Like, he hasn't taken over the world yet.
Darth Vader hasn't either.
Yeah, but, I mean, Darth Vader blew up a couple of planets, you know?
That is true.
I mean,
Lucifer introduced sin into the world.
That's a big one.
That's a big one.
That is a big one, you know? But other than that, really, it's all
smoke. We're doing fictional
it's
characters.
It's all smoke and mirrors.
We're doing
that.
Fictional, because, like, Kim Jong-il?
We'll do...
Is he a villain? Hitler? I mean, are we doing, like, real life
we'll
villains?
We'll have to do fictional. We'll have
fictional
to do movie villains.
Okay, like, we need to define this.
Okay.
Because, I mean, Hitler's on the list.
Because he's a movie?
No. What I'm saying is, if we didn't define it...
Oh, I see what you're saying.
If we did not define it, you're going to...
Movies and books, like literature, you know...
Okay.
Like Moriarty would be on the list, right?
Okay, yeah. I love Moriarty.
Yeah, right. So, so I think maybe next week we do this.
Okay, let's do it.
We've been sports heavy for a while, other than the first 30 minutes of the show when we talk about...
I was thinking that the other day. When we first started the show, we did a lot of like... topical things, and I like that.
Yeah,
I think we should come back around to it. I just feel like we've been so busy. Sports is
it's been crazy.
It's been crazy.
Here's the other thing: is I think eventually we want to do at least, well, eventually, long term, we want to do 5 shows a week.
Monday through Friday.
We want to do Monday through Friday, an hour every day, and you can have an hour just like Tony Kornheiser does, yeah. basically. But that obviously will come with more listeners and sponsorship, which, you know.
We have none of. Well, we have a few listeners.
Yes, and we pay Netflix as a sponsor.
And Time Warner and Starbucks yes. and Coke.
Yeah. But maybe, you know, the next step for us is maybe we do 2 episodes a week. We do a...
Like one topical...
A cap of the week, you know, like we normally do. And then we do a topical, like a draft.
Yeah.
You know, something that maybe isn't even sports heavy.
I like that.
So... you know, so maybe look for that in the future, write in the show, if that's something you'd be interested in, you know, if you want to sponsor the show. For all we know, Mark Cuban is listening to this right now.
There's no reason to believe he's not.
And he's like, you know what? I want Shark Tank to sponsor the show. Do they even do that show anymore?
I don't know.
Okay, well.
Maybe the Dallas Mavericks should sponsor the show.
I would gladly.
We could get free Dallas Mavericks tickets.
I would gladly promote the Dallas Mavericks.
Yeah, you know, they'd be my new favorite team.
I'll dump the Cavs like a cheap suit. They already gave me a championship, you know. So, but maybe Dan, what's his name? Dan.
Who are we talking about?
The owner of the Cavs.
Oh,
Snyder. No, that's the Redskins. I said Dan.
Oh, you screwed me up.
Anyway, whatever. Maybe the owner of the Cavs wants to sponsor the show.
For Fathead.
Yeah, even better. Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's the fathead guy,
he's
right?
He's the fathead guy, yeah.
So fat. That would be a perfect sponsor.
It would. I mean, it's sports-oriented.
Get yourself a fat
from
head.
Ohio. He's from Ohio.
We both have fat heads.
We do have fat heads.
All right, well, that's it. So, you know, do you have anything else as we close it down?
I'm serious on the sponsor thing.
What?
Like, if you know anybody that wants to sponsor the show...
Of course.
Contact us.
Yeah.
And he might be a salesman and sell stuff online.
And
you
can
sponsor
your,
the show.
Your sponsorship, just so you know... will go to make the show better. And
yes.
hopefully...
Like by providing coffee and donuts as we do it.
Yes. That's... I thought that was obvious.
Well, I just want to let them know what they're sponsoring.
Okay, good. So it will go to make the show better. You know, bring more listeners to the show. And increase your reach as a sponsor.
Yeah. Who doesn't want to listen to the show 5 days a week?
I don't know. Idiots. Morons.
Yeah.
Losers.
That's right. Deplorables. People who voted for Trump.
Yeah.
Which is me. But I didn't vote.
No, you...
Actually, technically, I voted you for Hillary.
Hillary.
Yeah.
You know,
but not in real life. It was on Streak for the Cash.
You picked her. It's not a vote. You just thought she was going
to
win.
No, I didn't think she was going to win. To me, it was like, if she wins, okay, I extend my streak to 6. I feel good.
Yeah.
But if I lose, I feel good because Trump won.
Because you want to make America great again.
I want to make America great again.
Yeah.
Some people think it's the evil empire. Like Trump. He's like Trump's a new Darth Vader. He's the new villain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like when they go up to the when he does his speech, the inauguration.
Yeah,
like he's gonna walk up to the microphone mm-hmm. with the Imperial March.
He's the first president that the White House is a downgrade.
Yes, the White House, the physical White House, is a downgrade from his current living conditions. Mitt Romney would have been the same.
Yeah, yes, probably. But, yeah, you know, that's true.
No, they're. I'm telling you, they're going to play the Imperial March as Donald Trump walks up to the microphone.
That'd be messed up. Oh my gosh! All right, well there it is. So this is Dan Owings signing off for Jason Owings, reminding you to always keep your stick on the ice and never wear the blue sweats.